Well, for those of you who may not know me, my name is Irvin Wasswa. I serve as the campus pastor of our Tylertown campus, Northside campus, and honored and privileged to be here to share this morning. Pastor Derek and his family are out of town on vacation, and so have the privilege of coming down to the South Side. Man, it's always a great time to come down to the South Side and share, see a lot of familiar faces, but see a lot of new faces as well, right? Which gives testimony to all that the Lord is doing in His city here in Clarksville. And so, before we dive into the Word, I just wanted to share just some encouragement, an update on what's going on the North Side. Man, the Lord is at work. He is on the move up there. We've seen countless people saved. We've seen folks growing in Him, maturing in Him, right? We've seen our numbers and attendance increase, but more than that, right, we've seen folks grow in the Lord, right? Catch on to what the Word says, where we're called to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And so I just wanted to share one story with you real quick. There'll be a picture up on the screen here in a second. We had a couple of baptisms last week. And the kid that's getting baptized is a guy named Zachariah Bell. A little background on him. Him, his two brothers, and his dad started coming to Tylertown about 2 years ago. To be honest with you, his dad was broken up and beat up, man. Just walked through a terrible season in his life and was struggling and tried to come to church to find answers, if you will. And so he came, got plugged in, and fast forward 2 years, bless God, we have not only had the privilege of baptizing the dad, but we've been able to baptize all three of his sons and see his sons grow in the Lord. Amen. And see his dad grow in the Lord. And so, man, we celebrate that. And listen, the reason why I share that story, right, isn't just to pump us up, you know, on the North Side, right? It's to give God glory, but also, right, to let you guys know that we're so thankful, right, for your investment in the life of our Tylertown campus. It's because you give financially. It's because you pray, right, whenever you think about us, right, that we're seeing God at work on the North Side. And so I just want to say I'm so thankful, right, for the investment of the Sango campus, man. God is at work. And here's the good news, church. He's just getting started. Amen. Just getting started. And so with that being said, why don't you turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 is where we're going to be. We are continuing our series entitled He Is, right, looking at the person and character of Jesus Christ and who the Bible says He is, right, who John the Revelator, who wrote this book, who He says He is, looking at the life and ministry of Jesus. And as we know, as we've walked through this series together across our three locations, we know, right, that Jesus is more than just some relic, right, that we wear around our neck. We know that Jesus is more than just our homeboy or our buddy, right, that we say what's up to and then go and live, you know, for ourselves, if you will. We know that He's more than that. We know that He is the Son of the living God and that He is God. And we've looked at these I am statements, and we're going to look at the last I am statement, which declares the fact that He indeed is God. And the fact that He is God, as believers in here, calls for us to give Him our life every single day of our life. And so this morning we're continuing in John chapter 15. Last week we looked at John 14, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? Talk about Jesus being the only way to God. There's no other way but through Him. Acts 4:12 says it. Right, there's no other name under heaven by which man could be saved, right, but Jesus. And then we see that chapter end with Jesus giving further encouragement to His disciples, letting them know that, hey, listen, I told you I'm going away. I know it's easy for you to get troubled, but look, man, I'm sending one that's going to be better. The Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, that's going to be with you always. And the encouraging news about that, church, is found in verse 18 of John 14 that says this, that Jesus does not leave His people as orphans. But man, He is with us. Spirit's with us. And so with that being said, we find ourselves in chapter 15. And so this morning we're going to read verses 1 through 11 this morning. So if you're there in John chapter 15, verse 1, let me know that you're there by saying there. All right, I'll give you a couple of you a little more time to get there. But once you get there, we're going to read here, and we'll have the verses on the screen as well. If you can follow along if you don't have a word with you. But John chapter 15, starting in verse 1. This is what the word of the Lord says. It says this. I am, as this is Jesus talking here, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. So abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be. Why don't we pray one more time together, church? God, we love you. Ask this morning, Lord, that you would teach us how to abide, Lord. God, knowing that it's through abiding in you, Lord, that, God, we bear fruit, that we, God, have a fruitful life. Lord, I pray right now, as you have been already, you continue to meet your people where they are, Lord. And I pray that all of us, God, would be folks that leave differently than the way we came because we met with you, God. Lord, we love you. We thank you. And we ask these things all in your gracious and heavenly name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I learned a helpful fact, just last week in a small group I'm a part of. Pertaining to your time at the airport. Any of you that travel a ton, this would be beneficial to you. I learned from a military guy. He shared that it is not wise for you to keep your Wi-Fi on and not be connected to any kind of network while you're in an airport. And of course, I'm curious. I'm thinking, man, why is that the case? Well, it's because, man, they're everywhere, but mainly in airports, there are scammers, right, that can download a device or download an app or something on their phone and walk up, and if you've got your Wi-Fi on, they can connect to your phone and basically steal all your information. And I thought, man, that's a key piece of information I need to know, right? I said, man, I'm thankful that you shared that with me. See, even though, right, you may not be connected to a network with your Wi-Fi on, the reality is you may end up getting connected to something you don't want to get connected to. That's the truth. And so, man, I figured I'd give you that wisdom today. Hey, make sure if you're not connected to, a network while you're at the airport, just turn your Wi-Fi off, or else you may have all your stuff stolen off your phone. Just go ahead and throw that in for you. Hey, listen, I say all that to say this reality. Whenever it comes to our Christian life, the reality is that in Christ, we are called to stay connected to him. Stay connected to him. That's what Jesus says here whenever he says, hey, the call for us is to abide in him. That word abide in the Greek, it means to remain, right? To be close to him. To stay connected to him. And here's the reality, church. Hey, if you're living your life not connected to the vine, the reality is you're going to end up getting connected to something. And that something isn't going to be beneficial, man, for your growth and maturity in the Lord. The call for us is to stay connected to Christ. Stay connected to him. Those of you who know him, man, the call is to stay connected. The call, here it is. The call isn't necessarily for you to, hey, do a ton of stuff for him to earn his love. Man, he already loves you infinitely. Right? The call for you is to stay close and stay connected to him. Hey, the call for you, right, isn't for you to live a life, man, hey, apart from him. The call is to stay connected to him. And conveniently enough, that's what I've called the sermon today. Hey, staying connected. Staying connected. Just as Jesus has called for us, man, to stay connected. We're called to stay connected to him. He uses this illustration of the vine and the branches, right? Jesus, I love this, man. He speaks to his disciples. Again, the context here is he's encouraging his disciples. He's getting ready to go to the cross. He's encouraging them, right, as, man, he leaves for them to stay connected to him. And he uses imagery. He uses a story, right? He uses a picture, right, that would speak to them. The disciples, whenever they hear Jesus say, hey, man, stay connected to the vine, they know exactly what he's talking about. They know what Isaiah 5 said whenever Isaiah the prophet compares, right, to the vine, to the vine of Israel, the people of Israel. And how ultimately, man, hey, they couldn't bear fruit the way that they were supposed to. But Jesus himself, being the true vine, right, was able to do what the people of Israel couldn't do. They understood that. And so it moved for them to choose to stay connected to him. Real quick, just two ways today. I got 2 points, man. Usually as a Baptist, you got 3, but I only got 2, man. I got 2 points today. Maybe you'll get out of here in time to get brunch at your local spot in town. Hey, 2 points. Right, 2 ways that we're able to stay connected. 2 encouraging points for us, man, that lead us to be a people that stay connected to the vine. The first point is this, man, in order to stay connected, church, hey, we've got to choose to understand our need. Understand our need. Hey, staying connected to Christ, man, hey, it comes when you choose to understand your need at the end of the day. Hey, I understand, man, what we want to preach and live is, man, hey, we're independent people. Hey, we're folks, man, that pulled ourselves up by the bootstraps and made it happen. And you very well may have, man. That's awesome. Great story, man. We're celebrating Independence Day right on Tuesday. Celebrating it this weekend. Thankful for the many that serve. But hey, can I go ahead and keep it 100? Hey, listen, when it comes to our walk with Jesus, hey, we're dependent upon him. We're in need of him. We are needy people. And I don't say that to be demeaning this morning. I'm not trying to demean you. I'm just trying to speak the truth. Hey, nothing is going to happen. Growth isn't going to happen. Maturity isn't going to happen in our life, man, apart from us staying connected to him. Acts 17:26 says it like this, man. Hey, in the Lord, in him, man, we live and move and have our being. Church, hey, we've got to choose to understand our need. Our need. Hey, this picture of, man, the vine and the branches, right? A branch, those of you, man, who know agriculture, you know this well, man. It's the same thing back in the first century when Jesus is talking to them. Right, a branch, man. If it's apart from the vine, it can't really do much, can it? It can't really grow anything. Hey, it's just a little twig, hey, which its purpose is, man, ultimately to be burned in a fire. But, man, when it's connected, and that's when it makes all the difference. The call for us is to understand, man, that we're a branch. I remember when I was in 8th grade, talking about going to camp. We went to Glorieta, New Mexico in summer for church camp. And Glorieta, New Mexico was a long way from home. I grew up in Dallas, Texas, right? There isn't much elevation up there, over there. Right, my family, they're from East Africa, Uganda. There's not much elevation up there unless you're climbing like Mount Kilimanjaro or something. Not much elevation up there. But Glorieta, man, it was a ton of elevation. But I didn't think much of it. So I went, and I grew up with asthma, and I had forgotten my inhaler at the house, which I knew was a problem. But here's what I thought, Brother David. Man, hey, I don't need that inhaler, man. Hey, I'm a big enough boy, man. Hey, I'm independent. I'm good, man. I'm just going to do my same old stuff. Right? Hey, I'm big and bad, right? All 5'1" of me. Right? All 5'1", you think, man, hey, I'm big and bad. I'll be all right. Well, yeah, you know how the story goes, man. A day and a half in, man, I'm walking a couple steps and struggling to breathe, man, wheezing. Man, just taking a couple steps, struggling. But I still tried, I still tried to do the same stuff, man, that all my other friends were doing. Right? Go play basketball out there in that elevation. Right? Run around, man. Hey, not get much sleep. And sure enough, it came to a point, man, where, hey, I realized I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. And had to end up going to the hospital. Man, and getting, you know, treatment because, man, I had, you know, air slipping out of my lungs, if you will, right? Some kind of long doctoral word I don't know how to say. It was some kind of thing they diagnosed me with. End up getting real sick, man. Because, hey, I thought at the end of the day, man, I could be independent of that inhaler, when in reality I could. Hey, don't miss the picture, friends. Man, in order to stay connected to the vine, we've got to realize that, man, hey, we're dependent upon Christ. We're dependent upon Him. We need Him. Like that old hymn goes, we need Thee every hour. And so the call for us, man, is to stay connected. Understand your need, right? What does that look like? What does that look like, man? Understand your need looks like this. Understanding that we are branches in need of the vine. As I mentioned, as I gave, right, that illustration there, right? The branches, man, twigs with really two purposes, bearing and burden and burning. No major significance to them. But the thing for them is that they were dependent upon the vine to produce. Right, in the same way, that's who we are. Man, I know it's tough to grasp this. But the reality is, hey, listen, and again, I don't mean this demeaning, hey. We're not, man, the greatest thing since sliced bread. We're not. Listen, hey, we're not superhuman people. The reality is, listen, we are nothing without Christ. Without staying connected to Him, man, hey, we're just branches, man, that are going to wither away at the end of the day. Man, in order to live this Christian life, man, hey, you've got to choose to understand that you are a branch in need of the vine. John chapter 1, verse 4, right? The vine signifies life. You know, when the branch was connected to the vine, right? Hey, the vine gave life to the branch. And obviously Jesus comparing Himself to the true vine, right? It speaks to the fact that He is life. John 1, 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. I guess what I'm trying to say is this. Hey, growth and maturity in our Christian life comes not by us trying to manufacture it by living, man, a life of doing, but rather, man, it comes from us possessing a posture of humility and understanding that, man, it's about being connected to Christ. And that's where the growth comes. Some of you, man, are trying to live a life, man, that's trying to manufacture fruit. Hey, if I do more things for God, man, then, hey, I'll be able to develop this fruit over time. No, no, no. The reality is, hey, those things may be good, but there's not going to be any growth there unless you choose to stay connected to Him. Now, we've got to understand that we're called to be folks that stay connected to Him. Understand our need, man. Understand that we're branches in need of the vine. But secondly, understand this. Understand that we're believers who are in need of pruning from the vine dresser. The text here says, right, that Jesus Himself says that God the Father is the vine dresser. You know what a vine dresser does, right? It goes, man, and hey, it cuts out stuff that may be prohibiting, man, that branch from bearing fruit. Again, I'm a super novice whenever it comes to agriculture. Man, I grew up in the city. You know what I'm saying? The only plants I had, man, I think I bought from Hobby Lobby, and they lived a couple weeks, and that was it. And I probably bought them for a church project. That's neither here nor there. I did study, though, and understand the reality of a vine dresser, right? The purpose of it, man, to cut out the dead wood that may be diseased, right? That may be keeping that branch from bearing fruit. Man, cut out stuff, man, that's, man, prohibiting the vine from growing. That's what the Lord does with us in our Christian life. Man, if there's stuff in our life that's keeping us from growing in Him, man, hey, He cuts it out, prunes it out. Why? Man, because of His love for us. Hey, God loves us too much, man, to allow us to stay in the same place that we're at. He loves us too much to allow for us to stay in the same place that we are, man. So He's constantly pruning, man, cutting in order for us to continue to grow and bear fruit. and bear fruit. Though it may not feel good, man, it's got to be done. You may ask Pastor Irv, man, what does this cutting and pruning look like in our context? Well, pruning looks like this, first and foremost, man. It looks like we end up getting pruned through spending time in the Word, man. The Word cuts us. Bible says the Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Right, so as we're abiding in Christ, spending time in His Word, we're seeing the truth of His Word, man, we're cut to the heart and called to respond, lay down stuff we need to lay down, give up stuff we need to give up. Man, it comes from the Word, but also, man, it comes through trials. Did you know that? Man, pruning comes from trials in our life. Many of us, man, we see trials as strictly something that's negative. Asking God, why is this happening to me? God, I'm doing all these things for you. Why is it happening? But James 1, 2 through 4 tells us, man, hey, count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. For you will know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Man, trials. The Lord perhaps allows trials to take place in our life, man. Hey, for us to experience pruning, man, for us to grow in Him. And I know you can give testimony to that. I know I can. A couple of years ago, those of you who may not know, a couple of years ago, my dad was living with me and I walked in one night and found him dead on the bed. Died suddenly. He wasn't in great health, but I mean, he was only 60 years old. And I remember asking those questions, God, why? Why would you allow for this to happen? I'm doing everything for you. God, hey, I'm a preacher. God, I'm helping my dad out. I'm being benevolent. Why would you allow for this to happen? But over the span of the next couple of weeks, man, I saw that pruning and that cutting, though it hurt, man, I saw it take effect. Here's what I learned, the biggest lesson I learned. I learned a lot of lessons, but here's a lesson that I learned, man. Hey, I learned, man, that I could live out and see the reality of what the Word says in Psalm 125, 1 and 2, where it says, hey, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion that abide forever. I learned that, hey, where it says in verse 2, man, just as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people both now and forevermore. I learned, man, how to trust in God in a way that I had never felt like I'd had to before because of that pruning. And so listen, man, some of you walking through trials today, I know it's countercultural to say, but perhaps, man, count it all joy. Man, what's the Lord trying to teach you through it? Hey, how is He trying to grow you? Because at the end of the day, hey, we, man, are branches that are in need of the vine dresser, man, to constantly prune us, to constantly cut us. I'll leave you with this quote, and then I'll move on to my last point. When it comes to pruning, the reality is this: whatever is paralyzing your walk with the Lord at the end of the day needs to be pruned out. Whatever is paralyzing your walk with the Lord, man, needs to be pruned out. And so the Lord allows for trials to take place. Man, as we spend time in His Word, man, He cuts and prunes out so we can continue to grow and bear fruit. And how do we stay connected? Listen, hey, we understand our need. You got to understand your need, church. You got to understand you're in need of Him. We need Him. And then secondly and lastly, man, how do we stay connected? Man, we stay connected by choosing to rest in His love. Verses 1 through 8 speaks to the call for the disciples, hey, to abide in Him, right? To abide in Christ, man, understanding our need, understand that without Him, we're nothing. Verses 9 through 11 speaks to this call for us, man, to stay connected to His love. Man, we see basically the implications of what happens whenever we choose to abide in Him. Man, love's made complete in our life. And so the call for us, man, is to rest in His love, man. I tell you what, I'm thankful for His love. Thankful for His love and the love that He showed us. Man, we've got to remember that the Lord showed His love, man, in an amazing way. That while we were yet sinners, man, Christ Jesus died for us. Died for us. And so the call for us is to rest in that. man, not try to manipulate God into loving us more by what we do, but choose to rest in the love, man, that he has already shown us in him. And rest in his love. Rest in his love. What does that look like? Real quick, here in the text, man, it looks like this, choosing to be folks that walk in obedience to him. I know that sounds a little oxymoronic, if you will, right? Resting in God's love. Man, but you're telling us that we've got to walk in obedience to him? I know that sounds a little oxymoronic, but the reality is, man, hey, we display the fact that we love God and are resting in his love by choosing to obey him. Think about it for just a second. Hey, whenever you choose to follow God and obey him, right, you are indicating that you trust in what he says, who he is and what he says. And so whatever he's leading for you to do or whatever he's calling for you to do, man, hey, you're resting in his love by choosing to say yes to what he has for you. So choose to rest in his love. Jesus himself said, hey, man, you keep my commandments, man. You show that you abide in my love. And the commandments that we see in his word, the commandments that we see, right, are found in his word, man, and are found in his spirit as we walk with him. And the call for us is to follow him. Resting in his love, man, resting in the love of Jesus looks like a life sold out to following him and his word. Obedience out of trust in who he is and the fact that because he loves you, he knows best. He knows best. Man, like that old hymn goes, man, hey, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Hey, just to take him at his word. Hey, just to rest upon his promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Man, resting in his love is choosing to follow him in obedience. Hey, what is he calling you to today? And by the way, can I go ahead and throw this in free of charge? Hey, in order to know what he's calling you to do, you've got to choose to stay connected to him. You see, hey, they're inextricably linked. You see that? Hey, in order to know what he's calling for you to do, man, you got to spend time with him. Spend time with him. Some of you, man, you're trying to figure out what God's plan and purpose is for you and your family's life. Well, can I tell you? Hey, the first step is choosing to spend time with him. Seeking his face. God can do whatever he wants. But hey, but a lot of times, man, what we're hoping for is for God to send a shooting star across the sky. Right? Or be like Elijah on Mount Carmel, man, send fire from heaven to let us know, man, that he's there. And, hey, a lot of times, man, we figure out what his call for us is by that still small voice, man. He speaks to us as we spend time in his presence. And so choose, man, to rest in his love, man, by following him in obedience. Psalm 119:16, psalmist says, I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Man, staying connected looks like resting in his love by following his commandments. But also it looks like this, man, choosing not just to walk in obedience, but walk in joy. I love how Jesus ends it here in verse 11. He says, These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Man, what a statement here. Again, Jesus is looking to encourage the disciples here, and he reminds them, hey, listen, I say these things to you, man, that your joy, that you would have my joy, and understand that, man, your joy can be complete. Can be complete. What Jesus is saying here is this, hey, Jesus, man, he has a reservoir full of joy. Right? Hey, when we choose, man, to trust in him, to stay connected to him, man, we experience, man, that joy in abundance. Hey, that joy that supersedes any kind of struggle that's going on in our life. Hey, that joy that leads us to worship him, man, even though we may not feel like it. That joy, man, that leads us to say yes to what he's calling us to, man, even though it may be difficult. We've got access to that joy when we choose to stay connected to him. And so the call for us is to walk in that. Walk in that. Man, choose to be folks that walk in his joy in these days. Nehemiah 8:10 says this. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet wine and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved. Hey, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Man, walk in this joy, man, that comes from knowing him and staying connected to him. I don't know about you. Again, I'm just going to throw this in free of charge as well. I don't know about you, but here's the deal, man. Hey, because Jesus Christ is alive and well, bless God, we can walk in joy. Hey, we can live a life, man, that's different, man, than the folks that are out in the world. Because we've got a joy, man, that's unshakable. Because the one that we follow is alive and well. And so whatever may be going on, understand, man, that we've got this joy and we can walk in him as a result of that. I'll end with this, staying connected. When I was in college, whenever I started college, I should say, ended up needing to get a laptop for school. And you know, money was a little tight in those days, Brother Jordan. And so I ended up settling for a Walmart brand laptop, Compact. You might have heard of it. Compact with a Q, spelled with a Q at the end. I think they had a deal, right? You can get a printer and a laptop for like $150, right? And you definitely got what you paid for, man. Hey, I was thankful for it, but I mean, hey, that laptop probably had a battery life of 20 minutes. I mean, man, it barely worked, but I was thankful to have it. But here's what I discovered. After using it for a couple of months, the battery got so bad, it had to be connected to the charger in order to have any kind of use at all. So whenever I would disconnect it, it would just shut off automatically. I could be working on a paper, forget that it's plugged in, I would unplug it, and it shut off. Lose all my assignments. You know, lose that 2-page paper I wrote, Brother Bill, and have to write that whole paper again, man. All that hard work. That's a joke, man. Y'all get that later. But anyway, man, it was a struggle. It was a struggle. I realized that, hey, the laptop that I had to be connected to the charging source in order to have any power to do anything. If it was disconnected, man, it was useless. And it couldn't do anything. You know where I'm going, church, but I'm going to go there anyways. Hey, so it be the same in terms of us, man, in this Christian life. The reality is, listen, hey, you can't manufacture fruit on your own. You can't do enough things, right, to earn enough gold stars in heaven one day to grow this fruit that's being talked about here in the text. The reality is, hey, the only way that you can bear fruit is by choosing to stay connected to the vine. And his name is Jesus. And so my encouragement for you today is this. Hey, stay connected to him. Stay close to him. Hey, listen, hey, don't devalue, man, that quiet time in his presence. Even though it may be just for a few minutes, man, because there's a crying baby that's in the other room. Hey, don't take it for granted, man. Make the most of it. Hey, don't take for granted, man, that time in his word as you're alone with him. Hey, make the most of it because, hey, when you're doing that, man, hey, you're choosing to abide in him. And when you do that, man, fruit will be born in your life. Choose to stay connected, church. Choose to stay connected.